There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. By the way, I got a that ending of the show opening there is from a perp walk, but I've got my hands. I put it on Twitter earlier. I've got probably my new favorite perp walk audio that I may be able to get on this hour. Also, today National Wine and Cheese Day. Now this is. Usually when I tell you about what's going on at Cottage Hill Package, I do tend to tend to pay attention to the craft beer stuff more. But that is completely because I'm into craft beer. But on this National Wine and Cheese Day, I will tell you they are having a craft beer event going on with Alabama's only ginger brewery, Interstellar Ginger Beer, an exploration company out of Alabaster. That goes on from 6 to 8 tonight at Cottage Hill Package, free event. But it's also National Wine and Cheese Day, and they have got a monstrous selection of wine at Cottage Hill Package. They got great spirits, they got, of course, craft beer, but a big selection of wine, and people there, instead of just walking aimlessly down an aisle, they have people at Cottage Hill Package, family-owned business, the Manis family, who can help you make the right decision. If you want to pair a wine, you want to impress friends or family coming in, you make sure you have the right wine to go with a steak or some snapper or something. They can help you out with that. Same way they can with craft beer and spirits and that huge cigar selection. They can do it on wine as well. Go by and see them. See what we've been talking about all these years. Corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them on Facebook. You'll get updates like about the great craft beer event going on tonight with Interstellar Ginger Beer. They're free tasting 6 to 8 tonight. There, I did it again. I'm back to craft beer. But go check out their wine selection on this National Wine and Cheese Day. They can't help you on the cheese, but they got the wine thing figured out. All right, y'all say hello to my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap. Hey, Dale.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing? I got to tell you, I learned something just now. I didn't know what a ginger brewery was. I thought it was redheads only.
Just for people with red hair and freckles.
Yeah, just exclusively redheads. So I'm glad to know the difference.
I'm writing that down for next time. I'm stealing that from Dale Leash. I got a lot to talk about with you. And this morning, so Rob is on with Dalton and I this morning, and we're talking, and at the first part of our conversation, we get into a letter that came out with one of the companies that had filed their idea for what to do with the Civic Center, their plan for what to do with the Civic Center. They filed a letter saying they're withdrawing. They're out. That's what, the Sterling Company?
That's right, the Sterling Company. And they were the lead developer in a group in a team of people that were going to had submitted one of the two plans for the Civic Center redevelopment. And they were, I mean, they were the local office, you know, I think they're from Louisiana. So, you know, there was, they took a lot of pride. It seemed like they took a lot of pride in having submitted and being a finalist for this project. But because of some things that happened at a meeting with the city council last week, it seems like they've decided to withdraw.
Now, it's not just, help me understand this, Dale, because it's not just when they got out, it leaves, of course, the Cordish Company, the other one, but
that's right.
But in the discussions here, isn't the proposal by Cordish Company one that does not have a venue for, like, Mardi Gras or a center?
There's not a civic center-type venue in the Cordish Company's proposal.
But I thought that was the dictate, right?
It's more of an open-air sort of vibe. If you've ever been to, like, Ballpark Village in St. Louis, outside of Busch Stadium, or outside of SunTrust Park in Atlanta. It's those sort of venues that are adjacent to the ballpark. They've got big TV screens and then restaurants and shops all around. I was talking with Ashley Price, our co-publisher, comparing it to Downtown Disney, which, you know, it is what it is. But that's kind of the way that it has been introduced to us.
But is Dale, and help me, because you went to these meetings when they put out the RFP or whatever it's called in this, didn't they dictate that it had to have something there for that could hold Mardi Gras balls?
Loosely that's true.
Okay, so this yeah. So now we're down to one suitor, and that suitor's plan doesn't include the thing that the city puts out in the RFP.
That's true, but they argue, and if you read that meeting, and I think you get this from sort of the tenor of the letter that Sterling wrote, was that, you know, clearly there was one. It seemed to me from being the audience of that meeting that the city was really pushing the Cornish Company's proposal, and it may not have been the city, it may have been their real estate consultant, but they seemed to really push the idea of the open air sort of facility. And the way that they viewed it was, they compared our Mardi Gras to St. Louis's New Year's Eve celebrations. So apparently the city of St. Louis hosts these big New Year's Eve celebrations, and so what they do is they pack the square, and people like rent out these restaurants, and they have their parties in these restaurants that are around the square. And so they were comparing that, well, you could have a ball there. Well, I'm like, yeah, a little unusual, but that was their idea.
Okay, I'm going to go in full Homer mode and have a little trouble hearing you on the phone, but that's cute, St. Louis, that you'll have that celebration on one night. When Carnival goes on here for weeks and weeks and culminates and culminates in night after night after night of multiple balls being held on the same night. That we're going to rent out the TGI Fridays and have the ball there. I mean, give me a break, man. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be cynical for cynical's sake, but give me a break.
Yeah, and here's another aspect of this plan that seems a little odd too. It's that, you know, this Cornish company, they have their own restaurant company, so they bring in their own restaurants, and they have themed restaurants and stuff that would take up most of these tenant spaces. But then you've got like all the restaurants on Dawson Street you got to think about, and all these other corridors downtown that are burgeoning, and you know what's going to happen with those. And I mean, we talked to the mayor about it, and even he was like, you know, no problem if we get 6 million visitors a year, we won't have a problem. We don't get 3 million tourists right now, so there's an issue there too.
Yeah, I mean, there's protectionism going on, and I get it. There's protectionism of the current restaurants and venues downtown. At the same time, I feel there's a protectionism when members of the city council are saying, you can do this, but you can't put in any housing in the area. That seems...
Right.
So I'm confused because there's people that disagree with this project for multiple reasons. Does that seem honest?
You've got the restaurant people that don't really want a new area with brand new spanking restaurants there, and then you've got people that want the Civic Center. There's no Civic Center, so yeah, there's you know, two or three different groups of folks that think this is a bad idea.
Yeah, if it ends up without a place to hold the Mardi Gras balls downtown. I think it will have an impact. It may not have, I mean, they'll still have parades and people will still go downtown, but the impact on hotels and all that stuff, I think, will be felt. I mean, I think it will, the ripple effect from not having a venue for Mardi Gras balls that's downtown, maybe we can get some economists to project it out, but I think it's pretty big.
Well, I mean, I can tell you how much the city makes in revenue from Mardi Gras, and it's roughly... it's almost $1 million. So they take in 1.6 million in additional tax revenue, and they spend about $700,000 additional in overtime. So you're looking at that difference would be the net gain for the city in terms of just tax revenue. And we're not talking about, I mean, that's hotel tax and sales tax. We're not talking about any of the other sort of cultural benefits to Mardi Gras.
Well, and I'd like to point out, too, that, you know, overtime money works its way right back into the local economy. Hey,
that
Dale,
is true.
Dale,
that
can
is
you hold
true.
On a second when we go to the news break?
Yes.
All right, coming right back, Dale Leash from Lanyap, our guest. Check out his story, lanyapmobile.com, or the new issue of Lanyap, Impact of Carnival Important as the City Mulls Civic Center Plans. Now we got Sterling Company out. We're left with one, and their proposal doesn't include a venue to hold balls, at least the way we picture it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. My buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap on the phone with us talking about the story you can check out over at lanyapmobile.com or in the new Lanyap. And it's all about impact of carnival is important as the City Mulls Civic Center plans. And now there's just one suitor. There's just one Cinderella at the ball, Dale.
That's right. It's funny that you use that terminology. But yeah, there's one. The Cordish Company's proposal is the only one we have left now.
And so then you win, right? I mean, if you're the only person left, you win?
By process of elimination, yes, that would seem to be the case.
That's a great way to do business.
Although the mayor's office did release a statement today saying that they'd like it to be a competitive process, but that they remain on their timeline for September. So
okay, let's slow down on that one. Let people get that. Okay. So they're saying, city says they want it to be a competitive process, but they're going to stick with the timeline. So that gives us basically a month and a couple days. I mean, I don't do this stuff for a living, but I can't imagine that somebody can just up and make one of these plans in a month's time.
I don't know how you're going to get another proposal together in that short amount of time, but, you know, they did say that they're sticking to the timeline. So, who knows?
So if, and you said this as we went to break, let's say under this Cordish Company's plan, there's this open air concept, an open air thing. So the Mardi Gras balls would be held there, but held outside? Or explain that to me.
I mean, I guess technically some could be held outside. Like I said also before break, though, I think they were hoping that people would rent out the themed restaurants and stuff like that to hold the balls as well. And we're talking about a number of restaurants that they would bring in into the facility. So, you know, you could be talking about three or four restaurants that would be right around the center area where you have the outdoor pavilion space. But, I mean, I guess theoretically you could put up a tent, too, if you wanted to. But, I don't know how Mardi Gras folks are going to feel about that.
And that's the big thing. You've got a couple different pulls against this. You have the Mardi Gras organizations that, you know, I got to tell you, you want to know how the cash gets into the system, right? You have the net effect of $1.6 million in tax revenue for the city. Like you said, probably $900,000 just in straight revenue to the coffers. Although I would argue the overtime and all those things goes right back into our economy. You pay law enforcement and other groups. They have more money in their pocket. They buy more things at local stores. And, you know, all those things happen. But that only happens because Mardi Gras organizations, private citizens, spend a lot of money to put on these parades and hold balls.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is extravagant, over the top spending, right? That they don't have to do, and they do it.
Right.
And that's the catalyst for this whole process.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's kind of been the tradition, with the Civic Center too, is that it's right there. They can unload and get off and start their parties right after their parades or whatnot. I mean, that's kind of the whole deal. So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. They spend all this money during this month and a half that we're doing all this stuff, and then year round too with costumes and all this kind of stuff. That doesn't happen in just a month. So yeah, that should all factor into the larger economic picture.
Yeah, Donald's asking a good question on the text line here. We're going to get to some calls in a second, too. He says, looking at both proposals, it looks like Sterling had the better plan because it was a better fit for our city. Why in the heck would they pull out? So in this letter, why in the heck did they pull out?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First of all, I mean, and they mentioned it in the letter. First of all, the CBRE, the real estate consultant for the city, asked them to come up with a better proposal, because their initial proposal was I think for that site was a grocery store, five or six apartment buildings, and then a civic center, they didn't call it a civic center. It was like an event center. But it was basically just a remake of the civic center, and they were going to, they were going to completely build it from the brand new from the ground up. It was going to cost the city $66 million, and I mean, even with the apartments on site, I mean, you had people like LaVon Manzi going, "You have to be kidding me!" with that sort of density there in that area, with all the other apartments we've heard about coming online here downtown, it did seem like a lot. So yeah. CBRE came back and said, could you guys kind of give us a more creative plan? And they also asked them to not to do one where they took out the Civic Center. Because I think a large part of the city leadership balked at the $66 million,
mm-hmm.
That they would have to front for that. On the flip side, you know, Sterling was upset that Cordish sent in their RFP and didn't have any prices, didn't talk about anything financially or how much the city was going to have to put in. And so to them, it seemed a little unfair that, you know, they went on record saying we need $66 million, and the Cordish companies, from what I understand, had none of that information ahead of time. So, you know, I guess to Sterling, it just seemed like it was they were kind of, you know, fighting an unfair battle.
Let's grab a couple calls here, Dale. First of all, Jay is in Mobile. Jay, you're on with Dale Leach from LandNet.
Hi. I want to thank you for taking me.
Hey, you got to turn your radio down, or yeah. We'll all get dizzy.
Thank you for taking the call, but it's something that terrifies me, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to, you know, there's an old saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about how many just complete moronic activities the city of Mobile has done for a minute. Let me name some. The Fort Condy Village. Rather than cobblestone Dolphin Street, they cobblestoned a small neighborhood that nobody goes except the attorneys that work there and the accountants. The whole situation with the Arthur Outlaw Center, how that was done. Hank Aaron Stadium. They should have built that at the waterfront like Pensacola did, like it was done in Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay, so how does this, and I agree, we talk about this all the time, all the things that led us to this point, but what do we do? Do we let the Civic Center go away?
We don't let it go away. We do things to promote it. We don't tear it down, like some people say. We simply find a way to promote it that is not being done. Now, if we're under the ideas that we've had of what, to tear down the Civic Center is one?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, both plans.
What Dale, did we achieve by tearing it down?
Let Dale, and both Cordish and Sterling's plan were to demolish, right?
Yeah, and one was going to rebuild an event center, and the other one is going to have an open-air concept. That's true.
Okay, so there you go, Jay. That was, yeah, both of them to ruin it. Appreciate the call. Let's grab Nelson in Mobile. Nelson, you're on with Dale Leach.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I'm one of the only ones, you know, the chatter between, you know, just the guys who hang out around the curve are that, you know, once this thing becomes inconvenient, you know, a lot of us are going to have to make a decision. And I think the Lanyard guy hit the nail on the head. You know, we can walk out of the convention center or the civic center and walk right up to a hotel, and, you know, it's safe, it's convenient, it's quick. You know, I don't want to be having to jump on a bus and go somewhere. And an outside venue, if you have inclement weather,
hey, we're having Nelson. I think I got the gist of what you're saying. I have a lot of trouble hearing you. It sounds muffled, but I appreciate the call, Dale. So I mean, he's back to the, you know, if you mess with this too much in the formula, do you lose Mardi Gras as we know it?
I mean that has been the debate, I guess, some of this going on is that you know, some of these parades won't be as beneficial to downtown. Some of these groups may not. The benefit to downtown may be lost if the Civic Center, if they have to find an alternate solution to having the Mardi Gras balls at the Civic Center. So that's true. Can I, if I want to back up, I wanted to answer the question as to why they want to tear it down. And the simple answer is that it the mayor's office is pretty firm on the fact that it would cost too much to refurbish the Civic Center as is. Because I told you $66 million was for the new event center that Sterling was going to do. Cost estimates to not only refurbish it to where it could be used as a you know modernized facility, but also to get it ADA compliant because it's not, would be about $50 million. So I mean, if you're looking at $66 million for a brand new facility or $50 million to refurbish a 50-year-old facility, I mean it's kind of a no-brainer.
Dale, it's always been. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See you tomorrow night. Dale Leash from Landyap. And I look at the screen here. We're going to run to this is the heartbreak that we have to go to no matter what. But maybe to shed some light on this, Mayor of the City of Mobile, Sandy Stimson. Holding on. We'll go to him directly after we get the news and weather.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Mentioned as we went into the news break, somebody that can help shine some light on this, give us some detail. Mayor of the City of Mobile, Sandy Stimson, joining us now. Thanks for your time.
So, because you only have just a couple of minutes there, Sean, I'll try to be brief. Now, the process we've been going through was to down select a developer. Unfortunately, Sterling made the decision to withdraw. So now we have a single developer. This process was to really choose one developer. And once that developer has been chosen, that is the beginning point of ultimately what will be built. And for instance, let's say Cordish made a proposal, but they have not met with the Mardi Gras organizations. They haven't, let's say, sharpened their pencil. They haven't done all the due diligence because they were not going to do that unless they were the winner of the competition. Same thing would have been true with Sterling. So over the next few months, they will meet with various people, they will run economic models, and they will determine what they think they can afford to build and what the City of Mobile needs going forward. So there is nothing cast in concrete at this point other than we have a single developer to start the process with.
Okay, so the two proposals we've talked about are not finished project proposals. They are just the opening salvo.
Conceptual ideas.
So could the city, let's say we talked about Cordish and this open air idea, and I don't know if I'm saying something specific, but say that the city says, you know what, that's not what we want to go with. Would that be something that y'all would tell Cordish and say, okay, we see this other stuff, this looks okay, but this has to change? I mean, would you offer, or whatever, I don't even pick that thing, but there's something about it city doesn't like. You tell them specifically, and then they come back and say yay or nay whether they can do it that way?
I think that you framed it up pretty good there, Sean. There will be a negotiation going forward about what they think they can do, about what we need them to do, and how do we resolve whatever difference there may be.
Okay. This process then would start, does this start in September, or how does that work on timelines?
Well, the timeline was that we were going to have selected, the finalists by September. So now we know that we have a finalist, and so that process can start sooner than September. But we have not reached out to Cornish at this point. We're still trying to, process information with Sterling withdrawing.
Okay, so this will be, so it doesn't have to wait till September because there's just one suitor left. Y'all can, at some point here, sooner than later, get started with this.
That is correct. And I met with 18 Mardi Gras organizations yesterday, representatives of them. We explained the process that we're going through. They are understanding of the process, and they just want to make sure that their voice is heard. And we've assured them that that will happen.
Yeah, and also, I hear also in members of the Mobile City Council having an issue with there being residential or apartments at a facility down there.
So I think it has to do with maybe the volume of it. And it's like today, you can't go build 200 to 500 apartments down there because of the saturation, the ability to absorb that. And so this the entire 22 acres, it may not be built out, but over a period of, you know, 4 to 8 years. Now, that's unknown, but that will be part of the plan that is that evolves from increased negotiations.
Mayor, where does the, and this apartment may be a good way to describe this question, where does the risk lie? For example, if the apartments were built and they were not fully occupied or too many or whatever it is that risk is on Cordish, right?
That's the developer's risk.
So it shouldn't, yeah. I mean, should that be an issue? I want to ask that because if I'm a member of the city council, that's not going to cost any taxpayer money. That's the private entity risking their capital, correct?
That's correct, but they're not going to build. They're not going to overbuild that because of their risk. You know, they will measure that risk. And so, really, Sean, it's going to be what the developer. How is he going to make money? How do we minimize our risk? And how do we make sure that we don't get drawn into another bad situation of a project that where it ends up costing us more money and what we anticipate on the front end.
Yeah, and would the risk all for the city be on the front end, or would there be ongoing maintenance, or what kind of cost share would the city have with the private developer?
That's yet to be determined, and that's why that's yet to be determined. Yeah.
Okay, but what you're saying is this discussion moves up and starts quickly now because it starts more quickly than September because you have Cordish is it, right? I mean, Cordish is who's going to be presenting.
That's correct.
All right.
And so they will actually, in my opinion, they will put two or three people in the city of Mobile to start over a period of, and it could be 3 months, could be 4 months, to really doing whatever, whether it be a demographic study, whether it be community outreach, but all of the things that they really need to do to make sure that they have a solid proposal.
And will these proposals, when they come in, will they be for us to see, the citizens, as something the council will see from your office? How does that work?
I would say both. I mean, I think that what we'd ultimately end up is they will have a proposal, which we would probably first expose the city council to, let them understand it, and then it would be, you know, open to the public. But the public will be having input, you know, along the way, so to make sure that we've tried to cover all the bases.
I got to imagine that Cordish realizes that, right? They're getting in a project that's, you know, has a public entity to it, so they are going to get comment.
That is exactly right. I mean, I've talked to the Cordish representative this morning. I went down and visited here in Mobile with a Sterling representative. And so, you know, just trying to make sure we're touching our bases with this new information about Sterling withdrawing.
What would be the you talked about the timeline for development, but you said it could be over a period of time. So
let me say that there's probably a 4 to 6 month due diligence, develop a plan, and come up with a plan of what is going to be ultimately proposed. But then once that's proposed, you know, the developer may say, this is the first phase, this is the second phase, this is the third phase, and this is how we propose, you know, that it's done.
It will, because you say 4 to 6 months, is everything online for Mardi Gras this year, or is it going to be?
Absolutely. Nothing changes.
Nothing changes for this year.
Nothing changes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mayor Stimson, thank you for your time. Thanks for letting us know a little more about this.
Yep. And Sean, we'll be available next week to talk more about it, because I'm sure there'll be more questions, and we want to make sure that we put people at ease that there is no decision been made about whether we have an arena, whether we don't have an arena, whether it's going to be open air or not open air, and that sort of stuff.
That stuff. Okay. And if y'all are just joining us, Mayor Simpson, I want you to say it again, that this is the start of the discussion. This, what they presented is not set in concrete.
That's correct.
Mayor Simpson, thanks for your time. We will try to talk to you next week.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Mayor Sandy Simpson joining us by and giving us a little more insight into this. This is like so many of these stories when they're brand new, you're trying to figure things out. And, you know, because you would look at it and you would say, hey, well, there's a proposal and there's a proposal. You go with one and they've already designed it. But it sounds like that's just the start of the discussion. Can we, let me ask this one. Can we as a city decide what we want? Can we as a city? I'm sorry, but I mean, I hope so. Like I said, I'm a person that's in. There's some people that want things to fail for some reason. I'm a cheerleader for my city, but also, and maybe it's every other city, but I don't care. This is my city. Can we agree? Can we all get a consensus on what this is going to be? That is one of the challenges out there. All right, to the phones, and let's go to Paul in Mobile first. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
You know, I'm kind of like you about Alabama shouldn't be in the liquor business.
Yeah.
Mobile shouldn't be in the apartment business or the retail business.
Well, it sounds like, that'll be the private entity. That's what the mayor said. The private entity would own the, you know, that part of it.
Yeah, but it would be city land, so therefore the city wouldn't get property tax from the apartments or hotel.
But we're not getting property tax there now.
I'm not sure that we would get the room charges.
But what property tax are we getting right now?
Well, see, we could...
The answer, it's zero, right? Zero.
A hotel there or a restaurant, then sell off part of the property and tax the property.
So, split it like some
belongs to the city. There are no property tax generated by the property.
So you're saying subdivide kind of the 22 acre parcel?
If that's what they want, I mean, I'm not sure that what we had. You know, when Arthur Outlaw did a study of the auditorium, he said it was good for 100 years. I'm not sure. You know, when you bring in the guy who wants to tear it down, his estimate of how much it's going to cost to repair it, I think we need other estimates, because the federal government will do waivers on some of the handicap issues. Some of them can be just plain fixed. We could build a new section onto the existing auditorium.
What
I'd like to see is Beth Rich say the city comes up with the money. These private public partnerships don't work. It's what's wrong with the bridge. It's what's wrong with this program.
There you go. Paul, appreciate your call. To answer that question, I got a text here from somebody in the know that said the city will convey the property, so there won't be tax breaks, which then would be a net gain, right? Because we're not getting tax revenue off the parking lot, are we? I guess at some degree it has some value. I don't know how that's figured. Okay, come right back to the phones. Y'all hold on. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. You're packing up your travel gear, maybe getting ready to go out on vacation. Be nice to have a brand new shave set, wouldn't it? I got a way for you to do this. Harry's has got the best deal I've seen in years going on, and you can join the 10 million of us who have tried Harry's. Get the 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. This is... If you've been on the fence about this, wondering whether you wanted to, Sean's been talking about it a long time, I've heard it, but I don't want to change what I'm doing. I don't want to save 50% over what I'm paying right now on replacement blades. Stop. This is your chance. I mean, this is $3. Okay, this summer, give Harry's a try. Special offer for listeners of Midday Mobile. New customers will get $5 off the trial set from Harry's when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. It means you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer, and let them know I sent you, and help support the show. All right, and to the phones we go, and let's go straight to Mobile City Councilman John Williams. It's like I started talking about what the council may or may not do here, and there's a councilman on the line. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. What's a great day in Mobile, Alabama.
I knew you'd say that. So this question, Paul had brought this question up and about tax, about the tax and getting property tax from the property going forward. Can you explain how that all works?
Well, first of all, that's the exciting thing about what's about to happen at that location, is it's going to generate new taxes. We're not going to give away the world here. If someone wants to come in and do business, they're going to come in to make a profit, and that's what they intend to do with housing. We'll sell them the land, or in some fashion, it will be transferred to them, and it will immediately start generating the taxation that Paul talked about.
Okay, so that answers the question there. What about the situation today, where you heard Mayor Stimson just talking and said, you know, with Sterling out, Cordish is there, and it was good for me to understand this because I kind of had this idea, I think like a lot of people did, that there were two plans, and if you went with one company, then that plan went into effect. In fact, the mayor saying this is just the start of the discussion of this. Is this how you understand it?
Oh, absolutely. If in review of the minutes or the video from our last meeting would show that I time and time again said this is all conceptual, folks. The whole council was getting down the weeds about what building is that and how big is that driveway going to be. And I'm like, guys, these are ideas. This is to show us the kind of thinking that they can do and the type of development that they thought was possible there.
Well,
so it is an absolute starting point. We've found now, evidently through the process, you know, I've been in baseball games when the other team threw up the white flag and said, we've had enough. Everybody's seen surrenders. And in this case, I don't know if I want to call it a surrender, but let's say that Sterling did not want to continue in the process. It disappoints me, but it does leave us with one party standing.
Yeah, but there's Councilman Williams, but there's also a situation where, I just got to say this so it's said, that if you have just one player, you can't work one against another either. I mean, you know,
that's true, but, you know, realize that we weren't trying to work prices down. There was nothing to work against the other. It was a competition that they have already worked through for many months. We knew that both of them were dynamic. We knew that both of them could handle this and we could work with either one. I don't know. The mayor had a tough decision on his hands. And I think Sterling, for whatever reason, has made his decision easy.
There you go. I'm going to have to get you back on the show real soon to talk more about this. We'll obviously, this will be discussed on Tuesday, right?
I'm certain it will, but, you know, there is no contract before us. There is no proposal before us.
Yeah, but you got to start getting
a formal vote on this Tuesday. Not a chance.
No. Not that there would be a formal vote. No, that would be, I can see that as being premature. But the process of discussion, because I said this, you know, going in the last break, is the idea of getting, you know, everybody to agree, even those of us that are, you know, I mean, all for this idea, or, you know, somebody who says, I'm for it, I want something done, getting us to all agree on what it is, and let alone getting y'all, our representatives, to agree. I mean, that's, John, that's a challenge.
When we're here to make the decision. If every time we are called on to make a decision, we've got to get a majority of our constituency to agree with us. That's not much of a government. And you've got to agree with that.
It's a representative republic.
I agree. We always need to listen. We always need to stay in contact. But we should never think that the only way that we can make a decision is if we can find a consensus. Sometimes leaders need to make decisions. That's what you elect us for. And if you don't like those decisions, in those 4 years, the next 4 years go to somebody else.
There you go. Councilman John Williams, thanks for your time. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Always, Sean. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Very good. Hey, bye. I think we're just at the beginning of this, obviously. And get ready. Not that this is going to be, well, eventually this will, get ready. I will make my prognostication. Eventually, at least in Mobile County, this will scoot the toll discussion. It might take a year or two, a little bit to one side, I see this as all the different ideas and questions about this going forward. I can tell you this. I don't have a question about this. When I'm looking for gift items, even for gift items for issues I haven't even, like parties or birthdays or things I haven't even come up on my calendar yet, I go see my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. And Angelo, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Do I come in and buy multiple gifts?
It's funny how we have grown and improved over the years, Sean. So, and you've taught me a lot, and I've paid attention.
I learned a lot from you.
And, you know, there were a few years ago that you would come in the day of an event.
Well, maybe.
Or the day before, if it was something like Christmas.
Yeah.
And now you'll come in, you'll pick up several Open-L knives, you'll pick up several of the cool silver rounds, and, you know, you see pieces of jewelry ahead of time. If I shoot you a text or something, you pick those up. And you've got it covered. It's sort of funny, though, because it was always a fun thing. It's like, we're going to see Sean Christmas Eve. Well, how do you know? Trust me, I know.
Well,
and now, you know, Thanksgiving, you're already done with Christmas shopping. It's you know, it's changed our relationship a little bit in a funny way.
Yeah, but I want people to take advantage of that. And what made that happen was, it really happened for me. I came in to buy a gift one time, and he said, hey, Sean, you know, for that kind of money you're looking to spend, I can get you two items, or I can get you three items. And that's because y'all got such great deals on jewelry and different gift items that you can buy some. And I'm not going to tell everybody, sock drawer, where I hide those things, sock drawer, but that's where I hide them.
Well, and I know you even hide stuff there at the office, so, you know, the missus can't accidentally on purpose, you know, find something where you've had it stashed. But the prices are great. We have some new jewelry items that are in sterling silver that's not going to tarnish, and they're still at our old traditional pricing. So instead of paying $100, $200 for a piece of jewelry, you can get earrings, ring, and a bracelet for under $100. And, you know, talk about a great deal. And like you said, now you've come in, you've spent the same amount of money, but you've either got a whole bunch of cool gifts or you've covered several events.
That's perfect. All right, tell folks how to come see you and see what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. We'd love to have you come by the shop. You can also go on to Facebook, like and follow us there. We're always posting pictures there. Or check out the website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Angelo, thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one, buddy.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins. And I'm on the way out of here. Fine Bomb on the way next. See you tomorrow.